Hey there, friends. Morning. Great to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God. Before we get to the word this morning, just a few notes. Number one is that BA Vision Alaska has been rescheduled to May 17th. So Dan is doing okay, and he's healed from illness, and so he's going to be with us on May 17th, so a few weeks from now, the Sunday after Mother's Day. He'll be here with Vision Alaska, so he'll be presenting here up front from the pulpit, and then at the same time, there'll be a time for Q&A for Vision Alaska after church. So Dan will be with us then, as you saw, you have a reschedule. Also, Harry, if you pray for Harry and Wally, you know them, they're sitting right here. their son-in-law, he's been diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. And it's something pretty sudden, obviously it came on, and it's a pretty dire diagnosis, and so we'll be lifting him up in prayer. Next week, we have our communion and prayer time that we'll be doing. We will definitely have a special time. We'll be lifting up the Balmers family down in Texas, but definitely be praying for their son-in-law and his family. His wife's name is Elizabeth. And be praying for them in the wake of their diagnosis. But next week, we're going to set aside some time to pray for them and their family, especially during our communion and prayer time. So please be aware of that. Also, I want to pray a little bit before we get into the word. A lot of you know there was some kind of assassination attempt last night at the White House correspondent dinner, I think it is. And I think it got wind of this like really late last night, and then this morning was reading a little bit more about it. I don't know gobs of details other than what I've seen, and maybe you're in the same position I'm in. But I think it's a time to pray for the safety of the administration. I don't care who you vote for, but whoever was in the White House, we'd be praying this prayer no matter who it is. Because that's just a despicable kind of thing, and it seems like a lot of people are starting to think that violence is the way to get done whatever they want to get done in our world right now, and that is clearly not going to hold society together. So we should definitely pray about that briefly, and then I'll transition to praying for our time in the Word. We'll get to the words. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we do want to lift up this assassination attempt last night at this dinner. Father, we thank you that nobody was seriously injured, that one person got shot and is just doing fine and going to make a full recovery. But Father, we know we live in a world that is saturated with sin, but things have escalated a lot as people have made politics their religion. And Lord, we know that that's because there's a God-shaped hole in humanity, and only you can fill it. Only King Jesus can fill it. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can fill it. And we try to fill it with all other kinds of things. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for our nation that you would move us to repentance, that we would turn from idolatry of various kinds, especially political idolatry, and that we would turn to you, that we turn to the grace and mercy you offer us in the cross of Christ Jesus. I pray, God, that you would work powerfully against all folks who are in shadowy places that we never see, and folks who scheme and dream in the background for the forces of darkness. I pray, God, that you would put a stop to their nonsense, and that, God, you would make it so that people, all backgrounds, you know, in our nation could flourish under the kind of nation we are, under the laws we have. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be a nation that would say no to violence and to as a means of expressing ourselves politically. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, be with our administration, be with our president, the administration. Pray you keep everybody safe, and be with our Supreme Court as well. I pray for all justices that they also would be safe, Lord God, from this kind of these kinds of outbreaks. In the name of Jesus Christ, be with us, Lord. We need you. You are Lord, no matter who sits in the White House. And we declare that we need you to help us to repent as a nation and turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we turn to the Word right now. We turn to the Word of God during this time, and we pray that you would speak to us through it, Lord God, as this is our final time in Colossians. We declare that, as always, we need you. We need manna from heaven in the form of your word. We believe what we read in Scripture, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We believe it. Feed us, Lord God. Feed us. Speak to us. We need you. Give us clear hearts and clear minds to hear your word and to do what it says and to delight in it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right. Thanks for pressing in, team. Appreciate it. All right, so if you want to get your scriptures out, whether you are digital or analog, however you do that, we're going to be in Colossians 4 today. We're going to finish up Colossians today. We ended kind of wonky last time around. We ended it like Colossians 4:1. And I'm not sure like all the people who put the Bible together, like why they portioned the passages the way they did. It's kind of weird to end that way on a previous passage and not start it like Colossians 4, chapter 1. But here we are. And we're going to be in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 18. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 18 this morning. However you get there, digital or analog, we're going to rock and roll. And it's going to be in two sections. As you see, even in your Bible, most Bibles, it splits into two sections. You have verses 2 through 6, and you have verses 7 through 18. Right, and that's highly appropriate for the subject matter, but we'll be reading it in sections. I'm not going to read the entire thing outright because it's long, and so I want to be able to save some time, and so we're going to do it differently. But in any event, Colossians 4, verses 2 through 18. So we've been reading about viral gospel, viral faith here in Colossians, and today we're going to read on a faith that reaches out, a faith that reaches out. My oldest daughter just came back from some time in Europe. Her school does a trip to Europe every year for juniors and seniors. And they hit mostly England, but they also go to France for a little bit, and also Scotland, right? And she just got back. And something, she's talking to us right now, she just got back earlier this past week. And so we're asking her, what was it like? And all this other kind of stuff. And she's been texting us back and forth and a lot of things that she's seen and pictures she's taken and kind of exciting to get the debrief on, hey, what was this like for you? It's pretty awesome. And but I know something she heard. Even though she hasn't told me. She hasn't said it. But I know she heard it, right? When she was taking the train, like the subway or the metro in England, I know she heard something over the loudspeaker. You know what it said? Mind the gap. Some of you are nodding. You know what this is. Mind the gap. Right? And when you're taking like the subway train, especially if it's a subway train that has a curve in it or a bend, right? And you're on a platform, there's a gap when you're going to step onto the train between the platform and the train. And it's not like a crazy gap. I used to hear about it and I thought, whoa, like, is this like 5 feet? What are we looking at here? Like, to have to say that to people, I thought, man, let's see something pretty crazy. And I saw it and I was like, oh, it's not that bad. But, but somebody must have fallen in, right? Somebody must have, like, you took a wrong step and all of a sudden, right? You're in like some big trouble, especially if the subway takes off. You're in really big trouble. You don't want to be in that situation. And so you have these little automated things that come on. That mind the gap. Pay attention to the gap between yourself and the train. You do have to bridge a gap to get from the platform to the train. It's funny. They started this in England. There's now, you hear this in different parts of Europe, right? Different parts of Europe also have their own versions of mind the gap. Some parts of Asia have mind the gap. We have it in New York, and I think in Seattle, right? We don't say exactly mind the gap. I forgot the alternate phrasing we use. But it's the same concept, right? So it kind of spread. It went viral. Hey, mind the gap, right? And I'm sure like it helps you out with liability. You know, something happens, you can be like, well, we told them, right? So all the risk management people are really happy. But, that's what you do. You gotta pay attention. You don't want to get caught in between, right? And so you mind the gap. In our passage, Paul, he finished out Colossians concerned about some gaps, right? This isn't about sin at all. It's not nothing to do with sin, nothing to do with wrongdoing or danger that's coming at them, or something like at the Colossians, nothing like that, right? But he is concerned about a gap, right? It's a gap between the church and the non-believing world. It's also the gap between the church and other believers, right? There's two gaps here. And he's trying to bridge them in our passage. He's looking to bridge the distance between two gaps. So we call the first one a gospel gap, the gap between believers and non-believers. And the other one is just a gap of distance or a gap of disconnection between believers, right? And he's working in the rest of chapter 4, 2 through 18, to bridge the gap. That's it. That's what these two sections of our final chapter are about. So that's how we're going to look at it. You might say, why would he want to bridge these gaps? Why is he directly addressing these gaps, right? What's happening here? Well, the first one is Paul's in jail for the gospel, right? He writes to the Colossians from jail. There's a number of his correspondences that are that where he's in jail. He'll say, like, I'm in chains, I'm being persecuted, right? He doesn't whine about it, right? He knew from when he first got called that he'd suffer for the gospel. But that makes, there's a gap there. If you're in jail, you're kind of limited in what you can do. You have affection for people in your life, and you're limited in how you can show that affection. You can't do it in person, right? And so Paul knows, hey, he's in jail for the gospel. There's a gap. There's a gap between him and the Colossians. The Colossians also have a gap. They got the same gap between them and Paul. Right? But they're also, they're new believers. They're growing. They're growing in Christ, trying to deal with, and they're also trying to fend off heresy that's coming at them from the outside. That's intense. Right? Being in jail, persecuted for your faith, and then being new believers, you're growing, your church is growing. But then at the same time, you got to fend off heresy. That's really intense. Right? And so you got to bridge these gaps, the gap between the church and non-believers, and the gap between believers and other believers, to keep ministry vital, to keep it strong, right? Through disconnection and through distance. You got to do it. And Paul knows this, and so he hits it in these two sections of chapter 4, and he spends his time on this. So the first one, we're going to call it a viral gospel outreach, right? Viral gospel outreach. That's the first thing that Paul is doing to be able to deal with the gap. He's looking at viral gospel outreach. How do you deal with the gap between believers and non-believers, right? How do you do that? It's just in four verses, right? Let's read them. Start in verse 2. He says this. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Our first gap is relating to non-believers, right? They are physically close to us, but spiritually disconnected, right? Spiritually disconnected. How do you bridge the gap? How do you do it, right? Well, the first thing he hits is prayer. He says, be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, right? He wants prayers for gospel advancement, right? Prayer for God to open a door, right? Prayer for gospel opportunity. Right, it's prayers we can pray in our neighborhoods. Hey, God, give me a way to get a foot in the door for a relationship with this person who I don't know in my neighborhood. Lord God, pray. I need an open door for this person at the Y where I work out, or an open door for someone at work. Right, we also can pray for gospel opportunities. As he's praying for open doors, and then also for clarity, that he could proclaim the mystery of Christ, a mystery that in the Old Testament was concealed, or at least partially, in the New Testament has been revealed. But yet he knows, hey, I got to stay on point, and I got to proclaim it clearly, right? Clearly, as I should. Praise for the ability to communicate the gospel clearly. It's prayer. It's funny. Paul the apostle is looking to people like you and me for prayer, for sharing the gospel. You read that, you're like, wait, what? Really? Like, this guy has led tons of people to Jesus, worked miracles in the name of Jesus. He's planted churches. He's a leader of leaders. The Colossian church wasn't even started by him. It was started by a guy who he probably led to Christ, Epaphras. Wow. And he's looking at people like you and me and saying, could you pray for me? And you're like, buddy, I don't think you need a lot of help from me. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, but I do need help from God. Could you pray? Right? Would you pray? What humility, after all the success he's had by the grace of God, to continue to ask people like you and me for prayer. Prayer for gospel proclamation, which he's already done, right? But he still wants more prayer, right? Because he knows that this is like, evangelism's like a, it's like a, like filling up a hot air balloon. You got to constantly reinflate it. All the time, you got to reinflate it, right? You got to reinflate the balloon because, hey, we could forget about evangelism. We get caught up with our lives. Paul could get caught up with suffering. He's like, he could be like, I'm in jail. You ever want an excuse not to evangelize? Like, I don't feel smart enough. I'm intimidated by so-and-so. And Paul's like, I'm in jail. Okay, that's as excuses go, that's not bad. Right? Right? I caught a case. I'm incarcerated. It's like all of a sudden, like, my excuses get really puny. I'm like, oh, I'm just intimidated by Bill. You're in jail. Ha! I don't have much of an excuse. Right? He has no excuses. He doesn't use it as an excuse. I'm in jail, you know, therefore I can't. No. Probably a lot of prison guards who got saved from Paul's ministry. You know, or who got tired of hearing him talk about Jesus, wanted to. It's either get saved or get annoyed. But yet there he is saying, I know I'm Paul. I know that I've worked miracles. I know I've shared I've led people to Christ. I know that by the grace of God, I planted churches. I know I'm a leader of leaders. And still got to reinflate the balloon. Right? That's true for us too, all right? We got to pray for evangelism, for God to open doors, for us to be clear, for us to be brave, because we got to reinflate the balloon, all right? And that's what he's doing here. Next, he tells them, that's a concern about prayer, or not a concern, but something he asked them to do with respect to prayer. Then he focuses on them, their posture. Right? Their posture. Verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, that's non-believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Right? This is about the Colossians' posture in evangelism. Their concern for outsiders. Right? It says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. What does that mean? Right? Well, it means what it says. You know, John Piper, I like his commentary here. It's so good, I want to quote him directly. He says that wise investors know when to buy and when to sell. They recognize a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Strike when the iron is hot. So it is with time. This unique time, this singular moment, will never come again. It can be bought up for the kingdom or wasted. God says, buy it. Invest in it. Don't close your eyes and turn the other way. Buy this moment for the kingdom of God. That's what he's getting at. Be wise. Recognize the moment. Right? You're talking to someone at work or in your neighborhood or wherever, library, a relative at you know, a family reunion, right? And all of a sudden, they start talking about spiritual things, right? Whatever it is, it could be anything. It could be like, hey, I've been thinking about God lately. I bought a Bible recently. I don't know why. I feel like I need to, right? I've been thinking about going to church. Hey, I know you go to church. What do I do? Right? By the way, I've seen these conversations on the internet, on like X, you know, or it used to be Twitter, where people will say, this happened shortly, this happened not long after Charlie Kirk got assassinated. There are people saying, yeah, this really freaked me out. I don't know why. I think I need to go to church. How do you go in there? Did they just let you come in? I'm not joking. These are legit questions. And fortunately, people are like, yeah, just walk in. How do you pick one? Which one? Right? Opportunities. Be ready. Right? Or it could be something like, yeah, you know, I've been starting to get into crystals lately. I got anxiety in my life, and my aunt says she swears by crystals. And she says that it kind of works, and you know, and I bought a deck of tarot cards. Right? Okay, like you hear that, don't flip out. The first thing is like, don't do that. Ah! Right? Okay, don't flip out. Right? You know, it could be, hey, tell me more. Why crystals? Why tarot cards? Oh, you're already in the tarot cards? What does that do for you? What happens? Right? Keep your flip out on the inside. Right? Hey. Keep your flip out on the inside. Right? Don't freak out. Don't freak out on the outside. Right? Don't do that. Right? Keep your conversation full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer everyone. Right? Be gracious towards folks, even when you hear weird stuff. Even when you hear weird stuff from them. Right? Be gracious, because you received grace. Because the Lord, before you became a Christian, the Lord knew what you were, and you got grace, right? I know I got gobs of grace before I became a Christian, and I had no excuse because I went to religious school, so I was like super duper condemned. I had zero excuse. And the Lord was still gracious towards me, right? Full of the same grace you got from Jesus. Before you became a believer, when you were on your way to becoming a believer, give people the same grace, right? The same grace you've gotten as a non-believer, the same grace you've got as a sinner. As a Christian who's had to say, Lord, I screwed up. Help me. Give non-believers the same grace, right? Seasoned with salt. What does that mean? It means witty. It means witty, engaging, right? Somebody who could be kind of magnetic in a conversation. You can hold people's attention in a conversation. You might say, oh, it's not me. I don't have all the answers. It's not about that. Sometimes it's about asking the right questions, right? Right? Satanism. So you're a Satanist. Huh. I never met one of those before. So why exactly are you a Satanist? What is it about Satan that's attractive to you? Right? That actually is what I would want to know if I'm talking to a Satanist, right? I'd like, why'd you pick that? Sometimes it's about having the right kinds of questions. It's not about always the right kinds of answers. Grace, be gracious, season your conversation with salt, be witty, engaging, right? But also to the point, sharp, right? Always bring it back to the Lord. Why do you need this if you're the Colossians? Remember in chapter 1, Paul praised them for all the fruit they had. This is a growing church. They're growing spiritually. They're awesome. Paul likes them. They're amazing. Right? They're really cool. Right? And he wants this fruit to go public outside the church. It's great to grow internally, but he wants it on the outside as well. Right? Also, keep in mind, the Colossians are, they're fending off heresy. Stuff that has the same vocabulary, talks about J-E-S-U-S, they read the B-I-B-L-E, yeah! Same vocabulary, different dictionary. A lot of that right now in the world. Easy way to get tricked. They're fending this off. Well, that can lead you to a fortress mentality. Oh, I know how to deal with the world, man. I gotta keep these guys away. Paul's like, okay, time out. Yes, you gotta do two. You gotta walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. You gotta stay away from nonsense, false Jesuses, and weirdo mystical stuff that's ungodly, demonic. But at the same time, you gotta engage the non-believing world. Which one do I do? Both. It's not an either or, it's a both and. You can't become a fortress. The church can't become a fortress just because we're saying, I'm afraid of that weirdo stuff. You were a weirdo too. And, you know, the weirdos are the last to know. Right? So was I. Right? I strolled into this little it's actually a pretty sizable Methodist church that was believing in 1993. It started going and hanging out with them. They didn't see my weirdo stuff on the outside. I knew I could dress up really well. I knew how to dress up for religious people because I grew up in religious school. But there I was, practicing occultism, worshiping the devil. Right? You were a weirdo too. Right? Church can't be a fortress. So Paul is saying, don't turn into a fortress. Yes, you got to keep nonsense at bay, but you got to reach out. Right. You got to reach out. Right. And that's viral gospel outreach. Prayer and posture, that's how you bridge the gap. Mind the gap, bridge the gap. Right. Last bit's more lengthy, but actually it, in some ways a lot easier to wrap our heads around. It's the end of Paul's letter, and it's got all these greetings. Right. Lots of people. Lots of names. Some of them are kind of funny names. And he's like, these people say hi, right? Hey, let me give you an update on so-and-so, right? Here's their Facebook profile. Here's their Instagram profile. Here's what's happening. This is social media before social media, right? A lot of greetings and updates, right? And this is about in-reach for viral connection. This is believer reaching out to believer. With the non-believer, you're spiritually distant, physically close. Here, the exact opposite. You are spiritually close because you both believe in Jesus, but you're physically distant. You're physically disconnected. You're not face-to-face, right? Let's read it. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you. For the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved the comfort to me. Epaphras, who's one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him, that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Stop there. Right? What's happening here? Why does this matter? Right? Why does this matter? Paul is giving updates on his team. But it's not just updates. Right? This is affection. It's greetings in the South. It's like, hey, tell everybody I said hey. When you get there, you tell everybody I said hey. Okay? Because I want to know, you tell them how I'm doing, and I said hey. Right? I love the South, right? It's my home. That's what this is. Tell everybody I said, hey. Tell everybody so-and-so said, hey. Tell them this guy said, hey. Right? And you wonder, who cares? Well, it's this is affection. Through distance. Right? Affection through distance. Mind the gap between believers. Affection. It's also encouragement. He's sending them some green berets. Right? He says about Tychicus that he's a faithful minister. Right? With Paul, servant in the Lord. Right? He's sending Tychicus to the Colossians. Right? This guy's faithful. He's with me. He's on the I go to jail for Jesus crew. Right? I'm sending him. What? You're sending Tychicus? That's crazy. All right. Right? Encouragement. Aristarchus, Mark, and a guy named Jesus, who's called Justice. Jesus was a common name back then. It doesn't just belong to our Lord and Savior. There's lots of people named Yeshua back then, or Joshua. Right? So it looks weird to us. It's like, no, it's like Jesus. It's like, hey, man, you go south of the border, Jesus is a thing, right? So you have all these guys he mentions, Aristarchus, Mark, and Jesus, who's called Justice. And Paul's clear, they're the only Jews working with him in ministry. Why does he say that? Because Paul got dogged by his fellow Jews, right? A lot of his persecution came at the hands of his fellow Jews for the sake of Jesus. So if you're a Jew and you're hanging with Paul, you must be made of different kind of stuff. You're a Green Beret. You're like Delta 4-6 or whatever they call that thing, right? You are like for real. He's like, yeah, this is my crew, and I'm sending you one of Mark, right? If Mark comes to you, I already gave you instructions about him, right? Welcome him. He's with me. He's with me. He's with me. Epaphras, the guy who planted the Colossians church, he is one of them. He says he's here too. He prays for you and for people in Hierapolis and Laodicea. That guy works hard for the gospel. He's working hard for you. What does all this do? It's encouragement. I'm sending people who work with me to work with you. And then here's a guy, one of you, working hard for you. You don't see it, but I'm telling you about it. Encouragement. Whoa, he prays for us. Oh, God, praise God. Right? I need it. Right? It's encouragement. And I'm sending you my best. Right? The last bit deals with unity. Right? In reach for viral connection, it's affection. Hey, y'all. Tell everybody I say hey, right? It's encouragement. I'm sending my best to you. And here's people working, giving their best for you on my end, right? In the unity, pick it up in verse 14. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha in the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you, in turn, read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry that you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting to you in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is about unity, right? It promotes unity between churches, right? He sends greetings to the he wants greetings to the believers at Laodicea. Go tell. Now he said, this is Paul saying, you go tell them I said hey. See that? Especially these people who meet in, it's a house church, a sister named Nympha. A church meets in her house. Right? You tell them, you really tell them I said hi. Right? He wants the Laodiceans and the Colossians to swap letters. He sent one to Laodiceans. We don't have it. That's been lost to history. We don't know what that was. But he had a letter to the Laodiceans. He's like, hey, do a letter swap. Right? Because apparently he thought that what he said to the Colossians would be beneficial for them. What he said to the Laodiceans would be beneficial for the Colossians. Cool. Right? And then, you know, so you have this unity being built up. You don't, you're not alone. You're not alone. You don't have to be alone in ministry. Right. Individually or churches, we're not alone. You need to know this. Because ministry can be intense. And when ministry gets intense, it's easy to be like, I'm all alone. It's just me. And God's like, nah, it's never just you. Or it doesn't have to be. Go find a friend. Get a buddy. Get a buddy in Christ. Get a prayer partner, right? Swap stories about what God's doing. Unity. More encouragement at the end. Some guy named Archippus, we don't know anything about him, but this encouragement here, which sounds like a bit sharp. You tell him, not just that I said hey, but you tell him, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. That sounds like your Sunday school teacher from like growing up, like some teacher you had, and her glasses go down like this. You see to it that you complete the ministry you have from the Lord. Right. And that last word there suddenly has like three syllables, right? Especially if you're from the South, it really does. But you know, I mean, that's it. He's like, look, it's encouraging. There's like a little sharpness there. It's like, because like, Archippus might be a little slow in whatever this calling is. If Paul's like, hey, get on it. Right? Get on it. You in Christ is enough. Get on it. Okay. And then the last bit there is for Paul's own encouragement. Remember my chains. Right? Remember my chains. Don't forget me. Right. And don't forget my suffering. I need the prayers. Right. Don't forget me. Right. These are two things that we got to keep in mind always, whether it's our own individual efforts to minister before the Lord or whether it is us as a church. Right. Part of why we're doing Vision Alaska is to think outside of our own walls and to partner with folks in our denomination, right? But it's important to remember that we got to bridge both gaps all the time. We're not a fortress, right? Or we shouldn't be. So we always have to be looking out for ways in which we can reach out to people who do not yet know Jesus. Yeah, keep false doctrine away, refute it, right? Stay holy, yeah, but reach out. That's what we're here for. That's why the Lord didn't beam us up and we got saved. He's got more lost kids to get. Let's make heaven crowded. Right? Hell's crowded enough. And then also, you know, in intense times of ministry, it's easy. Like, we remember this during COVID. It's easy to feel alone. you know, us against the world, that kind of thing. It's just easy to do, right? Because of how people and organizations act, we have these default modes. It need not be this way, right? We're better together. We're always better together, both inside our church and outside. We're better together with people, with brothers and sisters who love the Lord. And we need this togetherness for encouragement. We need this togetherness to be effective in ministry. So we'll say this, is that, look, vital ministry is built on viral connections with non-believers and believers. That's it. Vital ministry, essential, significant, relevant, vital ministry is built on viral connections with non-believers and believers. That's it. We need both. We need both, especially when ministry gets intense. We want to get the gospel out to outsiders with strategic prayer and magnetic engagement, right? Engagement that is full of grace, seasoned with salt, right? And it's not always about having the best answers. A lot of times it's about asking the right questions. Fear not. But also, we want to encourage and partner with believers, however and whenever we can. Whenever we have the chance to partner, remember, we're better together, right? God built us to need each other. He built us to need each other. And remember that we are always getting to, we're always going to need each other. We will never be people who will be better solo. That's not how God works. You might be solo sometimes, but you're always better together. We need each other, right? And that's built in. As the worship team gathers and everything, I want to pray for us. You know, this is our last time in Colossians. It's been fun. Right, Colossians is a fun book to go through, and so this will be our last time in Colossians. I just want to pray for the God to continue to press the message, press the whole book on our hearts as we kind of say goodbye to Colossians and move on to some other things in the Word starting next week. But I just want to pray for God to continue to press Colossians on our hearts, and if somebody could get Todd and we can get the worship team back together, that'd be great. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, thank you for this time in your word through Paul's letter to the Colossians. We pray, God, that it will continue to encourage our hearts, that as we finish up this book, you're not finished with us through this book. You're not finished with us at all through any part of your word. Father God, help us to continue to have the deep truths of Colossians pressed on our heart, the deep truths of the gospel of Jesus, the deep truths of what it is to walk with Christ, even in the midst of encroaching falsehood. Lord, help us to be fruitful in Christ Jesus, and help us, Lord, to continue to bridge the gap between us and the non-believing world and between us and other believers. We are convinced that we're better together. We're convinced that we need you to become more effective in ministry. We're convinced that we are people who you have built to depend on you and depend on one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, please be with us. Amen.